The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Beautiful day here at Edstone as we move into the month of March. Hard to believe how fast these weeks in 2017 are just flying by. Earlier today, we recorded a television program for over here in the UK advertising the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. We went through some of the life lessons that come from that volume. And that's due to be played over the air next weekend. We've got a repeat lined up for this this coming weekend. So we'll keep you updated on some of the feedback we're getting from these programs and just the overall response. Also, a bit of news regarding thetrumpet.com. We're just a day or two away from relaunching that site. The site's been redesigned. It's been a work in progress for I think more than a year, maybe a year and a half. And as far as the overall flow of the content on the site, it's going to function in a similar way as the current one. We've been, as you probably know, over the last month, month and a half, we've been modifying the current site here and there and have added some new features. And the new site, which is a really clean look, and of course, as always with thetrumpet.com, it's free of all the annoying ads that you see on so many other websites. And we've been, of course, looking at a lot of other websites in recent months just to get some ideas. And really, I mean, it's difficult to just find one that's attractive, that's appealing, that you like the look of. I mean, there's plenty of sites that have good information, but so many of them just have ads. At the top, at the bottom, off to the right, off to the left, pop-up ads, just constant distractions that way. Now, we are hoping to add our own banner-type ad for those that would like to become subscribers to our weekly newsletter. But besides that, as I say, there's no advertising revenue that we generate from thetrumpet.com. It's just the plain truth of the Bible. It's an understanding of your world, the events of today, under the clear light of Bible prophecy. Probably the biggest improvement in this new website will be how it functions on mobile devices, like iPhones and such. This is probably the best upgrade of all associated with this new website. And I think it'll make it a lot easier for people to access the site and a lot more enjoyable to access the site from your phone, from a smaller device as it is right now. Of course, it's great for laptops, but we just don't have an app, or at least a good one, that that makes it enjoyable to view the site on your phone. So that will be a significant upgrade. Also, there will be more content, or at least the current format as far as the main news or the most recent articles, and how it will just flow right on down through the site as new articles are posted. But each article is also going to have a number of related items from our archives. We're hoping to draw a lot more attention to what has developed into quite an extensive archival system that we have, just the accumulation of articles over the years, thousands of them, in fact, as well as videos, Key of David archives as well. So we're going to be doing our best, just like we do on this program, to bring to your attention some sound bites and things from the past. We're going to be doing a lot more of that on thetrumpet.com as well. So keep your eye on thetrumpet.com today, tomorrow, Thursday. We've got a few remaining details to take care of before we roll out the new site, but be looking for that later this week. So over the weekend, I didn't get into this yesterday. We were, of course, traveling through the weekend, quite a lot going on in U.S. politics at the end of last week and then over the weekend, in particular with President Trump taking to Twitter, as he is, as he often does, to, I think this was on Saturday, to accuse Barack Obama, his predecessor, of spying on him during the presidential campaign last year. And as soon as President Trump sent that tweet out, or that series of tweets, I think there were four or five of them, I mean, it set off a firestorm of rebuke from the mainstream media. They just couldn't believe it. How could President Trump accuse Barack Obama of tapping into his phone lines? How could he do this? Well, I think there's a couple of points that can be made from this story. For one, as I just touched on there briefly, you'll notice just how quickly the major media just absolutely ruled out this possibility, as if Barack Obama would never do such a thing. It was, I think, just about a year ago when WikiLeaks published classified documents that, according to WikiLeaks, this is a quote from their website, showing documents that show that the U.S. National Security Agency, this is from February last year, 2016, the last year of President Obama's administration, but these documents reveal that the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA, bugged a private climate change strategy meeting between U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Berlin. You might remember tapping into Merkel's line. We talked about this at thetrumpet.com. WikiLeaks goes on and says that NSA singled out the chief of staff of UN High Commissioner for Refugees for long-term interception targeting his Swiss phone, singled out the director of the Rules Division of the World Trade Organization, Johann Humann, and targeted his Swiss phone for long-term interception, stole sensitive Italian... This is all that the NSA has done. Stole sensitive Italian diplomatic cables detailing how Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu implored Italy's Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to help patch up his relationship with U.S. President Barack Obama, who was refusing to talk to Netanyahu. The NSA also intercepted top EU and Japanese trade ministers, explicitly targeted five other top EU economic officials for long-term interception, including their French, Austrian, and Belgian phone numbers, explicitly targeted the phones of Italy's ambassador to NATO and other top Italian officials for long-term interception, and intercepted details of a critical private meeting between then-French President Nicolas Sarkozy, Merkel, and Berlusconi. So that's just a little bit of a rundown on what the Obama administration was tapping into over the past 8 years or so. And it wasn't just spying abroad. Everyone nearly knows about the Justice Department targeting journalists. Lots of stories going back to 2013. Journalists at the AP, Reuters, Fox News, who can forget Fox News reporter James Rosen, as the Obama administration was illegally monitoring the phone lines and the emails of Rosen and, I believe, his parents. And then you add to that pulling all those phone records from several Associated Press bureaus, including the ones in New York, Washington, D.C. In 2014, Cheryl Atkinson, she's the former reporter at CBS. I think she has her own website or network or something going now. But she said that her personal computer and her CBS laptop were hacked after she began filing stories about Benghazi that the administration didn't like. And so someone hacked into her computer. And according to an investigation by the New York Post, It was a hacker that used spyware traced to a government agency. So some government agency hacked into Cheryl Atkinson's computer. And yet we're to believe, judging by the coverage, Sunday, Monday, today, that this is something that President Obama never would have done to anyone associated with Donald Trump's campaign last year. He'll tap into the AP. He'll tap into James Rosen's accounts. He'll use the IRS to go after conservative groups. But certainly he wouldn't go so far as to tap into the phones of the Trump team last year during the presidential election or the lead up to it. We referred to this story a few weeks ago, this New York Times piece that really didn't get much attention back in January. This was January 12th, about a week before President Trump was inaugurated into his office. But it was something that I believe it was PJ Media drew attention to a few weeks ago, how the NSA gets more latitude to share intercepted communications. This was something the Obama administration did just days before he left office. And it's according to the New York Times. It says, in its final days, the Obama administration has expanded the power of the National Security Agency, the NSA, to share globally intercepted personal communications with the government's 16 other intelligence agencies before applying privacy protections. The Times says the new rules significantly relax long-standing limits on what the NSA may do with the information gathered by its most powerful surveillance operations, which are largely unregulated by American wiretapping laws. These include collecting satellite transmissions, phone calls, and emails that cross network switches abroad, and messages between people abroad that cross domestic network switches. So here he is in the last days, expanding the powers of these spying agencies, the NSA, together with 16 other intelligence agencies. Now, as for this other point to be made from the story, the big dust up over the tweets from Saturday, Donald Trump saying that the Obama administration was tapping into his phone lines there at Trump Tower in the lead up to the election, going back to October. Now, Trump, again, he puts out the tweets as he often does, and he hasn't come forward with any specific evidence to back up his claims. But if you just look at what has been reported in recent months, if you go back to the middle of last year, if you go back to the lead up to the election, if you go back to news reports in the major media from November, December, January, I just read to you that one from January the 12th. The Obama administration expanded the power of the NSA just days before he left office back in October. This is from October 31st. Also, the New York Times. The title is Investigating Donald Trump. FBI sees no clear link to Russia. So you know all about that particular story. The major media desperately wanting to show that Russia was interfering with the election, particularly after Donald Trump won. There was the sour grapes coming from the Clinton administration saying, well, it's because of Russia. It's because they meddled. It's because they wanted Trump to get in there. But here it admits, the New York Times, that Trump was being investigated. It says, for much of the summer, the FBI pursued a widening investigation into the Russian role in the American presidential campaign. Agents scrutinized advisors close to Donald J. Trump, looked for financial connections with Russian financial figures, searched for those involved in hacking the computers of Democrats, and even chased a lead, which they ultimately came to doubt, about a possible secret channel of email communication from the Trump Organization to a Russian bank. I mean, wow, this is explosive. This is the week before the election. The FBI investigating Donald Trump, according to the headline. It's a headline from October 31st, 2016. It says later in the article, Hillary Clinton's supporters angry over what they regard as a lack of scrutiny of Mr. Trump by law enforcement officials pushed for these investigations. The Clinton administration was behind it, or the Clinton camp, I should say. They were behind it. They were angry. These revelations were coming out about her emails, and so she wanted more scrutiny on Donald Trump coming from these law enforcement agencies. Investigating Donald Trump. Now, there was a story in November. This again, November 7th. I mean, judging by the date, this is just a day or two before the election. And it says here, this is from Louisa Mensch, the former editor at Heat Street. And she writes, the FBI granted FISA warrant covering Trump camp's ties to Russia. It says here, two separate sources with links to the counterintelligence community have confirmed to Heat Street that the FBI sought and was granted a FISA court warrant in October, giving counterintelligence permission to examine the activities of U.S. persons in Donald Trump's campaign with ties to Russia. They went and got a warrant so that they could spy, according to this report. This is from the major media, so that they could spy on Americans, U.S. persons, in the Trump campaign. Heat Street says here, contrary to earlier reporting in the New York Times, which cited FBI sources as saying that the agency did not believe that the private server in Donald Trump's Trump Tower, which was connected to a Russian bank, had any nefarious purpose, the FBI's counterintelligence arm, sources say, redrew an earlier FISA court request around possible financial and banking offenses related to the server. Says, well, it goes on and talks about how the first FISA request was made back in June. I think it was denied in June. And so then they narrowed their request in October. After, according to this piece, after evidence was presented of a server possibly related to the Trump campaign and its alleged links to two banks, two Russian banks. It says, while the Times story speaks of metadata, sources suggest that the FISA warrant was granted to look at the full content of emails and other related documents that may concern U.S. persons. So this is the media hyping the story. Or some would say fake news, hyping the story that the Russians clearly were meddling, that the Trump campaign was in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. Another piece here, this is January the 18th, 2 days before the inauguration. At McClatchy, it says FBI and five other agencies probe possible covert Kremlin aid to Trump. It says the FBI and five other law enforcement and intelligence agencies have collaborated for months in an investigation into Russian attempts to influence the November election, including whether money from the Kremlin covertly aided President-elect Donald Trump. This is according to two people who are familiar with the investigation. McClatchy says the agencies involved in the inquiry are the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency, the Justice Department, the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and representatives of the Director of National Intelligence. These are the ones involved in investigating the Trump camp. The FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency, the Justice Department, and even the Treasury Department, as well as the Director of National Intelligence. There was a headline at the New York Times the day of the inauguration that read, wiretapped data used in inquiry of Trump aides. Trump aides were being wiretapped. According to this headline at the New York Times, it says American law enforcement and intelligence agencies are examining intercepted communications and financial transactions as part of a broad investigation into possible links between Russian officials and associates of President-elect Donald J. Trump, including his former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. It says the continuing counterintelligence investigation means that Mr. Trump will take the oath of office with his associates under investigation, and after the intelligence agencies concluded that the Russian government had worked to help elect him. And so they wanted desperately to make this into a huge scandal. The fact that Donald Trump was coming into office January 20th, 2017, even as so many of his aides and associates were being investigated by the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the Justice Department, the Treasury Department. It says here, this is further on, February 14th, 2017, this is just a month and a half ago, Trump campaign aides had repeated contacts with Russian intelligence. It says here, phone records and intercepted calls show that members of Donald J. Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and other Trump associates had repeated contacts with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the election. Here again, the Trump-Russian connection and all of these investigations and these intercepted phone calls and the wiretapping. March 1st. This is last week. It says here, in the Obama administration's last days, this is the New York Times. In the Obama administration's last days, some White House officials scrambled to spread information about Russian efforts to undermine the presidential election and about possible contacts between associates of President-elect Donald J. Trump and the Russians across the government. It says, former American officials say that they had two aims to ensure that such meddling. This is the Obama administration's final days. They're scrambling to spread this information about Russia's involvement in the election. This had two aims, it says, to ensure that such meddling isn't duplicated in the future and to leave a clear trail of intelligence for government investigators. They wanted to leave a clear trail for investigators to follow once the transition took place from the Obama administration over to the Trump administration. It says, as Inauguration Day approached, Obama White House officials grew convinced that the intelligence was damning and that they needed to ensure that as many people as possible inside the government could see it, even if people without security clearances could not. Trying to spread all of this damning evidence, quote unquote. And then you look at some of the things that happened early on. I mean, the content of that phone call to Australia that the president made, President Trump. The contents between, I forget the name of the guy that had to step down because of what he said to a Russian ambassador. All of these leaks. All of these leaks, even private phone conversations that were being tapped into. And the New York Times itself, even using the term wiretapping. Well, this is some of the backdrop leading up to something Mark Levin said. I think this was last Thursday on his radio program when he said, look, the real scandal here is that the Obama administration was spying on the Trump campaign and then leaking information to the public, hoping, of course, that Hillary Clinton would get elected. It was going on in the lead up to the election, and it continued while President-elect Trump was preparing for the inauguration. Levin said these are police state tactics. What Barack Obama was doing in those final months. Police state tactics. Well, that was Thursday night. And then Trump himself, Saturday morning, he tweets out, I just found out Obama was tapping into my phone lines. He said, it's McCarthyism. He said, is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election? I mean, is this legal? That's what Donald Trump asked on Friday. And as I said at the start, once he then tweeted this out, well, the reaction coming from the major media, it's been astonishing, to say the least. The New York Times, I think this was yesterday, it talks about this being a conspiracy theory. They tapped into our phone lines. This conspiracy theory that was started by Mark Levin, and then it carried over into Breitbart, and then the president tweeted this on Saturday. By Friday morning, this is the New York Times yesterday, the unsubstantiated allegation had been picked up by Breitbart News, the site once headed by President Trump's chief strategist, Stephen K. Bannon. Less than 24 hours later, the president embraced the conspiracy in a series of Twitter posts accusing his predecessor of spying on him, setting in motion the latest head-spinning, did he really say that, furor of Mr. Trump's six-week-old presidency. And then it says in the New York Times, of all places, this was hardly the first time Mr. Trump made a shocking accusation without evidence. And what is the accusation? The accusation is that they were investigating me and that they were tapping into my phones. But who was it over the last 5-6 months repeatedly saying that this incoming administration is under investigation, and according to this phone tapping, and according to this intercepted communication, and according to this revelation, we've discovered a scandal. We've uncovered a scandal. I thought this was interesting. This is the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, and he said on one of the Sunday talk shows just the other day, he said that, there was no wiretapping going on at all. This is a clip one.
Let me start with the president's tweets yesterday. This idea that maybe President Obama ordered an illegal wiretap of his offices. If something like that happened, would this be something you would be aware of?
I would certainly hope so. I can say, obviously I can't speak officially anymore, but I will say that for the part of the national security apparatus that I oversaw as DNI, there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time, or as a candidate, or against his campaign. I can't speak for other Title III mm-hmm. authorized entities in the government or a state or local entity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the FBI, for instance, had a FISA court order of some sort for a surveillance, would that be information you would know or not know?
Yes.
You would be told this?
I would know that.
If there was a FISA court order yes. on something like this?
Something like this, absolutely.
And at this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists?
I can deny it.
There is no FISA court order?
Not to my knowledge.
Of anything at Trump Tower?
No.
Well, that's an important revelation at this point.
That's, I think, an NBC reporter talking about how that this is a very important revelation, that there was no FISA order. There was no seeking a warrant to tap into any phone lines. And what Donald Trump said on Saturday is completely bogus. He's just hyping a conspiracy theory, along with Mark Levin and Breitbart and some of the others. But who was hyping this so-called conspiracy theory going back to October? I mean, clearly, the previous administration, according to all the reports at the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CNN, they were surveilling the Trump campaign in some form or fashion, whether it was the specific phone in Donald Trump's office at Trump Tower or whatever. They want to play with the language now. But for months on end, the major media, the leftist media, was out there promoting this idea that there were all these investigations, that there were all these government agencies involved, and that there was all this nefarious activity, and that there was all this connection to Russian banks. And then Mr. Trump comes along Saturday morning and says, yeah, I was being spied on. And then the major media erupts and abruptly changes the story. I mean, it's astonishing the duplicity, the dishonesty, the short-term memory. It's as if they don't remember what they reported just last week, March 1st, or February 14th, or January 20th, or January 12th, or November 7th, or October 31st. And on and on and on it goes. That's the way it is in the United States today with the American media, the leftist media, just so obsessed over the enemy that is Donald Trump. And anything he says, if he says it, the opposite must be true. If he says the opposite, then that the opposite of that must be true. Where is there anymore any objectivity in reporting truth? It's just like Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 59. I mean, there's no one pleading for truth. All that we trust in is vanity. No one's pleading for truth. Everyone's speaking lies. We all conceive mischief. Isaiah said judgment is turned away backward and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails. Truth fails, the prophet Isaiah said. Truth falls into the streets. That's a perfect description of our world today, particularly in the United States. And I shouldn't just say just the U.S. I mean, you could find plenty at BBC and The Guardian over here in the U.K. regarding all of these investigations, all of these FISA requests, all of the wiretapping and such, all of the nefarious activities between the Trump campaign and the Russians. It's all there. It's all there in the timeline. Just go back and run a search. I mean, and there was the major media just breathlessly reporting every little detail. New York Times reports this. And then Heat Street comes out a week later and says, we've got more. There actually were FISA requests as well. One was turned down in June and the other one accepted in October. That's according to intelligence community officials, sources in the intelligence community. And now James Clapper comes out and says, well, I mean, if there was any kind of wiretapping, I would have been aware of it. And I'm here to tell you, there was no wiretapping. There was no request for a FISA order. Truth falls into the street. This is the world today in the post-truth media landscape. Jesus said the truth is what sets us free. Only the truth will set us free. And that's what we have to rejoice in. God's truth. Going back to that website I was telling you about. I mean, here, the new Trumpet website that we're just about to go live with in the next few days. It's not only free of all of these advertisements. It's full of truth. It's based on God's word, the truth of the Bible. I mean, soon that's going to spread all over the earth, just like Isaiah prophesied. It's going to be full. This earth is soon going to be full of the knowledge of God, just like the waters cover the sea. That's in Isaiah chapter 11. Herbert Armstrong had this great section in the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet, talking about how different this world would be if people just obeyed one commandment with respect to the truth. He said if everyone told the truth, if everyone's word were good, everyone were honest, what a happy world this would be. What a happy world we would have. Well, that happy world is coming soon. As soon as Christ returns to this earth and establishes the kingdom of God, then truth will set this world free. How can you even know whether it's coming from the Russians or the current administration or the previous administration or the major media surrounding all of them? How can you even know what the truth is anymore? Well, that's why we've got to stay grounded in God's word, because it's inspired by God. It's given by inspiration of God. Going back to that quote from the World Tomorrow booklet, Mr. Armstrong said, the only hope of justice, of peace, of truth, of right solutions to all this world's problems is the coming in power and glory of Christ to set up world government. That's the only hope of justice and peace and truth. It says right government, the government of God, that's what's going to bring the truth to light. It says light will replace darkness. Truth will replace error. Understanding will replace crass materialism. True knowledge will replace intellectual ignorance. And so you have all of this hype. You have all of this reporting, this breathless coverage of just how evil the Trump administration is and was in the lead up to the campaign. And now, the major media just does a complete 180. Turning around now and heading in the opposite direction. Now it's Donald Trump who's out there talking about wiretapping and illegal investigations. Well, it's the fact, too, that he's insinuating that it's illegal, or even saying it directly, that has the major media so angry. In any event, are there going to be any retractions? Will the New York Times now come forward and say, you know what, we did report this, this, and this, and this, and we didn't really, it wasn't substantiated. We didn't know for sure if it was true. We talked about it as if it was true. You're not going to see any of that. What you will see is them kind of parsing through the language and saying, well, we said this and this, but what we didn't say was this specific word, or we didn't talk about the Trump Tower office of Donald Trump being wiretapped. And so you'll have that back and forth between both sides. And the casualty, of course, as always, is the truth. The truth. It's fallen into the street. Yes, truth fails. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG, 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
When we've talked about media bias in some of these segments on the Trumpet Daily radio show, I've mentioned before just about how much of a massive distraction this is for the major media to get so obsessed over, politicizing this or going after this particular opponent, this political opponent in most cases, and then completely missing what's actually happening in the world. There are a lot of members of the media back in the 1930s. I discussed this briefly yesterday. I mean, they were so obsessed with Winston Churchill. He was the scaremonger. He was the warmonger. That they didn't truthfully report on what was happening in Germany. They didn't sound the alarm. They provided Adolf Hitler cover. And Churchill was a voice crying out in the wilderness. He said in 1936, doom marches on. We're headed to doom. We're headed toward doom. The march continues. As I covered with you yesterday, I mean, he couldn't believe it in 1935 when all of these revelations came forward. Germany's doing this, this, and this. Their Luftwaffe, their Air Force, is as strong as Britain's now. Stanley Baldwin wasn't telling the truth. And Churchill couldn't believe that the British public wasn't up in arms over it. And then he said in 1936, doom marches on. That's what's happening. When you look around the world, today I mean, when you look around the world, when you look at what's happening in Germany, when you look at what's happening in China, in Russia, in Iran, the Middle East, doom marches on. And you look at what it is that the major media is intensely interested in. Well, in some cases, they do get it right. But these stories that I'll point you to here in the next few minutes, these are the stories that don't get near enough attention. Well, you have all the intrigue about Russians and wiretapping and Russian banks and Steve Bannon and whoever else in the Trump campaign. But here's a piece from the Washington Post, and here's a case where the Post gets it right. And perhaps without even realizing it, sounds a bit of an alarm here. It says, in the era of Donald Trump, Germans debate a military buildup. This is the debate in Germany right now. How big of a military should we build? It says, as the Trump administration ratchets up the pressure on allied nations to shoulder more of their own defense, no country is more in the crosshairs than Germany. It says, if it meets the goals Washington is pushing for, Germany, the region's economic powerhouse, would be on the fast track to again become Western Europe's biggest military power. That's what we're seeing. Germany is setting foot onto the fast track to become Europe's biggest military power. It talks about how Germany is wedged between the United States and Russia. Something a lot of stories have been pointing out. It doesn't feel as secure as it once did. Of course, we've talked about how Germany sees this more as an opportunity to finally break free from American dominance and to go it alone and to get right onto the fast track to become the biggest military power in Europe. It says here, perhaps nowhere is the prospect of a new future playing out more than here in Lithuania. It talks about some of the military activities of Germans in Lithuania earlier in the article. Well, there's 500 German troops there. They're going through these exercises and so on. And of course, the Russians are pushing up next to Lithuania's borders as well. But then it quotes, notice this astounding statement made by a lieutenant colonel leading those German troops in Lithuania. And think again about what we've been noting, that they see it. I mean, there's plenty of coverage about Germany's kind of, you know, well, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, it's Trump's fault, and, well, he's going to abandon NATO, and so we've got to do this. We have to build this up. But in this Washington Post piece, here's a quote from, and a revealing one at that, from a lieutenant colonel, the military spokesman for the German troops in Lithuania. He said, maybe with respect to the United States, you need to be careful what you wish for. Mr. Trump says that NATO may be obsolete and that we need to be more independent. Well, maybe we will. And maybe you better be careful what you wish for. That's a German lieutenant colonel telling the United States, you want us to go it alone? Well, maybe we'll just go ahead and do that. Says the German-led deployment, also involving a smaller number of troops from Belgium, the Netherlands, and Norway, is designed to send a muscular message from Europe to Putin, back off. Well, soon it's going to be sending a muscular message to the United States and Britain as well. The Washington Post says here, yet on a continent facing the prospect of a new Cold War, the deployment is also offering a window into the risks of renewed German strength, as well as the Russian strategy for repelling it by dwelling on Germany's dark past. It says, in the 21st century world of hybrid warfare, the first proverbial salvos have been fired. And it talks about how it's Russia who's trying to stir up these this dark past of Germany's. So it gets pretty close. It kind of tap dances around the truth there. Of course, it doesn't see where this is leading. But at least there's a few references to the history of World War II. Well, they're staging military exercises in Poland, it says later in the article. Let me just get to the conclusion here. It talks about the expansion of the army, the increase in military spending, up by 8% over last year. This follows 26 years of cuts. 26 years of cutting back on military spending. And now it's abruptly changing and turning around and going in the other direction. The article says, Chancellor Angela Merkel has called for cool heads, but also for increased military spending. Her defense minister, Ursula von der Leyen, has been more forceful, saying recently that Germany cannot duck away from its military responsibility. Although considered a distant possibility, some outlier voices are mentioning the once inconceivable, the advent of a German nuclear bomb. And that's in the Washington Post. I don't know which page it's on, but I suspect it's way behind all the coverage of Trump, the conspiracy theorist, or Mark Levin, or Breitbart, or whoever else. Here, this is now under discussion. Same thing in yesterday's New York Times. Europe's considering its own nuclear deterrent. Now, we've talked to you about some of these stories that have come out of Europe. And the New York Times usually gets to those maybe a week or two later, but it does do a good job here of just summarizing some of the things that have happened in recent weeks. Some of the topics that are now up for discussion in Germany. The New York Times, this is the same publication that I was just quoting from so much in the first segment, where you see so much bias when it comes to its political coverage. On this point, though, it gets quite a lot of the facts right. And it opens by saying an idea once unthinkable is gaining attention in European policy circles, a European Union nuclear weapons program. At one time, I mean, this was unthinkable. At one time, I mean, you go back to what Winston Churchill and President Roosevelt were saying coming out of World War II. I mean, we are going to destroy German militarism for the safety of mankind, for the safety of European neighbors surrounding Germany. An idea that was at one time unthinkable, now it's gaining attention. It says under such a plan, France's arsenal would be repurposed to protect the rest of Europe and would put under a common European command, funding plan, defense doctrine, or some combination of the three. Yesterday we talked about that new white paper they're going to be discussing in, where is it? On March 25th in Rome, I believe it is. Somewhere. The next big gathering of European leaders. And here there's the talk of a common European defense. The Washington Post saying that Germany's talking about a military buildup. The New York Times talking about the nuclear deterrent and France spreading its nuclear weapons across the continent. Now, France hasn't made any statements indicating it's prepared to do that just yet. But the point remains, the bombs are there. Whether they're U.S. nukes or French nukes, they're there on the continent. It's interesting. Well, more than interesting. It talks about that Jaroslaw Kaczynski, the Polish former prime minister, and we've referred to his statements before where he called on Germany to take the lead. And he called on the EU to build up a nuclear program, a nuclear deterrent. But in this New York Times piece, notice it talks about what some of these officials have said, urging Germany on. But it says here, but the most important support, that is for the nuclear deterrent, the most important support has come from Roderick Kiesewetter, a lawmaker and foreign policy spokesman with Germany's ruling party. It always comes out from Germany. I mean, that's the driving force. This Kiesewetter, it says, gave the nuclear option increased credibility by raising it shortly after President Trump's election. In an interview in the German Bundestag, Mr. Kiesewetter, a former colonel who served in Afghanistan, calibrated his language carefully, providing just enough detail to demonstrate the option's seriousness without offering too much and risking an outcry from German voters or encouraging the American withdrawal he is hoping to avoid. Really? Is he really hoping that America avoids withdrawing? Or is he in his heart of hearts hoping that that happens? He's the one that put it out there, and that's the way it always happens. There's the trial balloon that's released, and the language has to be carefully calibrated because you don't want to offend. You don't want people to rise up and say, hey, wait a second, this is unthinkable. Well, now the unthinkable is gaining attention. And it's starting to become very thinkable. It quotes a Kiesewetter later on in the piece here. He says it's not a question of numbers. Numbers of nukes, that is. The reassurance and deterrence comes from the existence of the weapons and their deployability. I mean, it's not like we need a lot of them. But they need to be spread about the continent and they need to be deployable. And if we get that, then we've got a nuclear deterrent. He goes on and talks about how that there's some smaller, less powerful nations that can hold others at bay just simply because they have the nukes. As if that's only the only purpose for which they'd be used to deter the acts of others. But as we well know, because of Bible prophecy, because of what Jesus said in Matthew 24, those nukes and those nukes in Russia and those nukes everywhere else in the world, they're going to be used. That's what your Bible prophesies. So many prophecies. It says, finally, this is quoting from Bruno Tetris of the Foundation for Strategic Research in Paris. It says, if Europeans grew more serious about a nuclear program, you would not necessarily see it. So if this happens, according to this expert, this analyst, he says, if they go ahead and pursue this, you're not going to necessarily see it. Negotiations would most likely remain secret for fear of giving Mr. Trump an excuse to withdraw or of triggering a reaction from Russia. So you see, we'll probably, if we go forward with these discussions, it's going to be secretively done because, well, we don't want to give Mr. Trump an excuse to withdraw. That's the reason for the secrecy. Pretty amazing. In fact, I mean, it's going to be secretly and covertly done, along with these grand designs and plans and strategies for world domination. That's what your Bible prophesies. I don't have enough time here to get into some of those prophecies. I did touch on a few of them yesterday. Go back and listen to that program again if you like. That's at thetrumpet.com. All of our programs are posted at SoundCloud, and you can get them through iTunes and so on. In any event, that's all that we have time for today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.